السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers and our sisters who listen over receivers, we all know that we are in the month of Muharram, and this is our new year. All the other celebrations which took place for the so-called new year 2008, then for purposes of business, for purposes of travel, and for other purposes, we are allowed, it is permissible to make use of that calendar. But in reality, the calendar of the Muslims is the Hijra calendar, or the calendar which began from the Hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. All the other New Year celebrations we know is related to the Kuffar, the Mushrikeen, the Yahud, the Nasara. They behave like nothing but animals when it comes to New Year's Eve. Muslims were expected to remain far, far away from such kind of celebrations and such kind of indulgences. But unfortunately, a large percentage of the Muslim Ummah also blindly follows all these customary practices of those who have got nothing to do with Deen, with Sharia, with Quran and Sunnah. So as I said, that for the purposes of business, trade and travel and all other matters, we have to apply this calendar. But we must not forget our Hijra calendar. In the past, this has been discussed at length, and whenever Muharram comes, then again we repeat our lessons. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there were many, many incidents in his life from which this calendar could have commenced. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was making mashwara with the sahabas or with his companions and wanting to know where should the calendar begin from, because Muslims had begun to conquer vast territories and lands, and they had gone out of Arabia in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So many places came under his rule. So now there was a need for a calendar. There was before that they used to say so many years from the incident that took place, which we know as the year of the elephant, because Abraha had come with the elephants and the whole army to come and destroy the Kaaba Sharif. The whole history is mentioned when we discuss the surah of Alam Tara Kaifa Fa'ala Rabbuka Bi Ashabil Fil, Suratul Fil. So there's no time to go into any discussion of all those issues. But nevertheless, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in this discussion, someone said that it should commence with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there was no other incident that was more significant than the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What other incident could be more significant? But we give Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu credit for his wisdom. Anybody else would have condemned Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu very, very severely, and they would have even left his party, as we say in these days, because he refused to accept something which could have made sense to everybody, and that is commence the calendar with the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his wisdom understood that if we have to commence it from that day, then the people will just be satisfied celebrating the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they will forget everything else. When that day will come, they'll say, well, look, the calendar commenced with that day, so therefore we must all celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as far as his teachings are concerned, his sacrifices are concerned, and all his effort and everything else, and what message he left behind for us, that all will be forgotten, as happens generally. We all look forward to the birthday of our child and our family members and those who we are closely associated with, and on that day, what do we do? Congratulations, and they have parties and they have feasting, and that's about all. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not even accept that. He didn't even accept the other suggestions that came. Someone said from the Battle of Badr, somebody said from this, somebody said from that. But then he gave the decision, when it was viewed that the best thing to start it off is with the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that all his life was full of struggle, full of effort, full of sacrifices. There was nothing else there except sacrifices. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hijrah was the greatest sacrifice. It is not an easy thing to give up one's home, one's country, one's town, to leave behind every position and go away to another place where we do not even know what is going to be the condition. It is easy if a person has first transferred all his money, as we have these days offshore accounts. So the person has already transferred plenty of money, and then he packs his bags and he goes. And before he goes, that side is already made proper accommodation arrangements, he's made arrangements for everything else, and then he goes there and settles to a job and profession. That kind of hijrat is easy. But where every person is leaving and in such fear that they don't know whether they will survive the journey. Enemies at every step. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, look at his hijrat, that he has to leave his home in the darkness, early part of the morning. And 100 people armed to the teeth with their swords, they're waiting for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to emerge from his house. And they were confident that that was the day that they will assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and that will be the end of Islam, and that will be the end of Deen. Now, is it an easy thing to come out from a house when 100 people are there surrounding that house? But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he was told that take some sand in your hand and just throw it towards their eyes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what kind of yaqeen and confidence he must have had, and what kind of tawakkul and trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he is coming out, 100 people there, but he is coming out. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. In other words, that sand which you threw with your hands, people were seeing that it is going through your hands, as if you were throwing that sand. But in reality, it was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who was throwing that sand. If a person has to take some sand in his hand and throw like that, will it go into everybody's eyes? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blinded them, and he came out from there. So that hijrat was not an ordinary thing. And then again, if we have to discuss that hijrat, it requires hours. But Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is accompanying him. And they are going towards the mountain of Sur. Those who have been to Makkah Mukarramah, they have seen that it's not an easy thing to climb that mountain. Many, many people have gone up Jabal Nur. Even children can go up Jabal Nur. But it's not an easy task for any person to just walk up that mountain. And especially when there's so much of fear, the enemies are surrounding, enemies are chasing, and they are waiting for the reward of 100 camels. If they have to get Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now there's a long history, I'm not going into that. But what I'm saying is that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is accompanying Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And the hijrah is taking place. The first part of the hijrah is from the home of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam up to the cave of Sur. Now look at the sacrifices that had to be made. Look at the fear that was there. Look at all the other difficulties and hardships and problems that they were facing. And they had to leave behind everything. There was no question of taking a person's property along, or his gold and silver and his goods and nothing. They had to go empty-handed. So that hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and of course that dedication of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, nobody can ever match the sacrifice that he made for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Everywhere else, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was the commander in chief in the Battle of Badr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam commanded the Battle of Uhud. Everywhere Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to be behind him. But when it came to this cave of Sur, Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam was told by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu that you wait. Let me go inside first. So if there is any scorpion there, any snake there, or anything else that can cause any kind of harm and injury and pain, then let that come upon me, but not you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. If I die, then it is one individual Muslim that is dying. But if you have to pass away, then it will be the amanat of the Muslim Ummah that will go. That is the kind of love there. And yet, if somebody has to say that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu snatched away the Khilafat, he took it away from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he usurped it, then does it make sense to anybody? But that is again another issue we are not discussing now. So the hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because there was struggle, there was all the time a sacrifice. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, my salah, my sacrifice, my life and my death, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, the Lord of the worlds, Rabb of the worlds. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, they left behind everything in Makkah Mukarramah and they proceeded to Madina Tayyibah. That hijrat that he made, it was a great sacrifice. Therefore, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that the calendar of the Muslims has commenced from this hijrah, because it leaves behind great amount of lessons for the Ummah. That there has to be this hijrah in the life of a Muslim. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. If we say that for everybody where there is an opportunity to make that kind of hijrah, then for every Muslim, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say that who is a muhajir? Besides that muhajir who is in reality a muhajir. But the muhajir is the person who gives up all that which Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram and forbidden, when a Muslim gives it up, then it is as if he is putting that sword on the neck of his desires, and he is accepting the desire and the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That on the one side there is a great desire that today is the day of Jumu'ah, that you should go to the masjid and make Jumu'ah namaz. But there is a great desire in the hearts of many people that there is a cricket match that is carrying on, so we should go there and make our Jumu'ah there on the ground watching cricket. So many people will not make Salat today in the month of Muharram. So hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that the desires will come. He zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de, asli hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. He zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de, asli hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. It is necessary that the person gives up his sins. Otherwise, just giving up his city and going somewhere else, giving up his country, going somewhere else, leaving his town, going somewhere else, and then bragging about it that I'm making hijrat, hijrat, hijrat. What kind of hijrat is that if he has taken all his baggage from here with him? Besides those bags in which he has taken all his clothes, but what about all the other baggage that he's taking with him? Is that hijrat? The other country he's going to, there too there's no salah in his life, no zakah, no namaz. Na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na hajj. To khushi phir iski kya hai ke koi gent hai to koi judge. So many of our Muslim brothers and sisters, they say they're making hijrat. Why did they make hijrat? Because they said apartheid. So no problem, if you're having difficulty in practicing upon Islam, upon Sharia, upon Quran, upon Sunnah, if there is a difficulty in propagating the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there's a weakness in our lives that we cannot seem to practice, so then leave the country, go somewhere else, make hijrat, go somewhere else. But just for that reason they left. And believe me if I tell you that one morning in one home, when we went there in 1980, so a little girl came outside. So the person who was with me, he knew that family very well. And they had made hijrat in inverted commas from here for some years. So the little girl came outside. So he asked, "Where's your grandfather?" Or your father, whatever. The small girl said, "That probably his grandfather." They said, "No, he's not at home, he's out." He said, "What did you have for breakfast today, baby?" Said, "Bacon and eggs." Now is that hijrat? How many homes did they make the salat? How many homes did they practice Islam? So that leaving is not hijrat. That people in the world are doing all the time. This hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was for the sake of deen. The companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam understood fully well what the message was. So therefore the calendar starts from there. Now we can't go into more discussion on that. And the other part then is the Muharram itself, that the day of Ashura. Now whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives, Allah ta'ala says, "Ma ataakumur rasool fa fuzu." What he gives to you, then take it. That means whatever he tells you to do, then you must do that. How we should celebrate our Eid has been shown by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How we must give ghusl and kafan to a mayyit has been shown by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How we must perform our salat has been shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Practical demonstration. He said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Make your salat as you see me making my salat. So nobody can say that it was not demonstrated. So much so that now more than 1400 years have gone, or much more than that. But up till today we raise our finger when we are reading tashahud. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Up till then nobody raises that finger. And when it comes to ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then we will raise our finger. Now that is a different thing that somebody will say must keep it up, somebody will may say drop it, whatever it is. But every person in the world who is a Muslim, who is making salat, he will say the finger must be raised when it comes to ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Now look at the preservation of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings. Where can you find in the world any other Nabi's teachings to be preserved in this manner? Just the raising of that finger. Besides that, all the other things we know has been preserved. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam showed how we should be celebrating our Eid, how we should be celebrating our festival, or how should we be having our festivities, how we should be giving ghusl, kafan, dafan, burial to the person who has died, how we should keep our fast, how we should give our zakat. Everything has been shown. The hajj that was made by millions of Muslims now and has been made over the years, from where do we get the details of the hajj? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was even made the tawaf when he came into the mataf. His tawaf was made on a camel. Look into the kitabs. It was made on a camel. Everyone agrees that camel Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had planned for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so it did not cause any kind of mess. There was no urine, no stool, nothing. Clean, pure. So why did he go on the camel? He went on the camel so that those 124,000 companions of his can see exactly what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is doing. So there was a need for preservation, so it was preserved. So in the same way, when it came to Muharram, Muharram came many times in the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. What did he do in that Muharram? As far as the martyrdom of Hazrat Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala is concerned, there is no doubt it was a very, very tragic incident in the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and the Ummah. But Shahadat at the same time was something that the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dearly looked forward to. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he actually makes a dua, "Allahumma inni as'aluka shahadatan fi sabili." Oh Allah, I seek shahadat in your path. I want to be martyred in your path. And then my mouth and my death must be in Madinah Tayyibah. He was desirous of death in Madinah Tayyibah, but he wanted shahadat. And everyone knows that when he went on to the Musalla Fajr time, he was stabbed. That is again a whole history of its own. And it was the first of Muharram that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. But up till now, nobody really took out any kind of taziyah for Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. That title, Sayyidu Shuhada, the leader of all the Shaheeds, was given by Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself to Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala, his beloved uncle who was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And in what tragic circumstances, if we have to say it was tragic. It was indeed tragic. It doesn't mean that we must express great happiness that it's good that they passed away like that. That is Allah Ta'ala's gift to them, that He gave them Shahadat. But indeed it is something that grieves a person, hurts a person. It's not something that a person wants to see. So Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was a beloved uncle of Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was his condition in the Battle of Uhud? After having been martyred, the whole history of his martyrdom, read it in Fazail-e-Amal, Hikayat al-Sahaba and many other kitabs of history. But after he was martyred, again his nose is cut off, his ears are cut off, his liver is taken out. Hinda makes a necklace out of all these parts of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala's body. In the body also, wherever you look at it, there's nothing but wound and cut and bleeding. Nabiyyah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a rock of steadfastness and sabr and patience. But he too, when he saw the body of his uncle, tears rolled down his cheeks. And he said, if I had not feared my aunt Hazrat Safiya, that she will come, which she was the sister of Hazrat Hamza, then I would have left your body as is, so that the creatures, the insects, the animals, they will come and eat up your body. Then on the day of Qiyamah, you will rise from all different creatures and insects and animals, bodies, and I present you before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala asks you that how did this happen? Say, in your path, O Allah. There are different versions, but the thing is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that's the time he gave him the title Sayyidu Shuhada, the leader of all the Shaheeds. So there are many, many Shahadats in the history of Islam. If we have to just mourn the loss of some Shaheed, great Shaheed, then the 70 Sahabas that were martyred in the Battle of Uhud, the 12 that were martyred in Badr, and the thousands and thousands who were martyred around the world, we will run short of days. So this whole question of Taziyah and all this type of mourning and everything else, we know it has got nothing to do with Islam. Now people become so desirous of going and watching that how they are taking these Taziyahs, where they are putting them, and people are asking all kinds of mannat there and seeking help from them. So we have to educate ourselves that this is the traditional and customary practice of the Shia community. We have got nothing to do with it. Islam has got nothing to do with it. The Battle of Uhud, after that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam still lived. But did any year after that he have a special mourning session for the Shahadat of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala? And which Shahadat are we going to mourn over? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's whole family, there's nothing but Shaheeds. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala no, besides him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala no, Shaheed. And he was Shaheed on the Musalla, in the Masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. On the day of Qiyamah, different things will testify for the Shahadat of different people. The Musalla of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will testify for the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that he was martyred on this musalla. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, the Quran Sharif will give shahadat, that whilst he was reading the Quran Sharif, he was killed, he was martyred. His blood falls onto the Quran Sharif, and up till now it was preserved. So his another son-in-law, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, shaheed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was the father-in-law. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was the father-in-law, so the father-in-law was shaheed. He Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son-in-law, he was shaheed. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, son-in-law, shaheed. Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, grandson, he was given poison. And Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Karbala, he was martyred. But the significant part is not one of them neglected the salat even in that state. So why don't we take that lesson? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was unconscious, and he was not coming to consciousness, the people said, say as-salah, as-salah, because that's the only thing that really gets him up. So when they said as-salah, as-salah, he came to consciousness. He said, indeed, indeed, the person who does not have salah in his life has got no deen in his life. Now in that state also he's talking about his salah. And Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, the last thing that he made there was the salah in Karbala. So these are the lessons that we should be taking. All the other discussion with regards to Ashura, if Allah ta'ala gives life, we will discuss, but there's nothing more that we have to do. What we have to do is fast if we wish to on the 10th and 11th or the 9th and the 10th of Muharram. Stay away from sins, give some sadaqat, and extend the provisions for the family a little more than what we normally do. Extend it a little more on the day of Ashura, and then make ibadat, zikr, tilawat. That's about all that is there to do. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the Ummah the tawfiq of amal. May He remove our difficulties, pain, problem and suffering, and of the Ummah around the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.